For many boxing fans and analysts, Mike Tyson is perhaps the most ferocious heavyweight champ ever to enter the ring. But his behavior outside of the ring has attracted almost as much attention and made him a celebrity beyond the confines of the sports pages. Though Tyson's tumultuous and violent marriage to TV actress Robin Givens is over, the story of their marriage isn't. The August issue of Playboy magazine contains excerpts from a book by former boxer Jose Torres, and Torres quotes Tyson bragging about a punch he delivered to Givens, and bragging more generally about his sexual exploits. My guest Phil Berger has been steadily following Mike Tyson's career for the New York Times, where he's the boxing writer. Berger has his own new book, Blood Season, in which he explains how boxing changed when Mike Tyson came on the scene.
Boxing in the period before Tyson was, particularly the heavyweight division, was in a kind of doldrums. And I happened to see Tyson on an undercard in Atlantic City. He was then maybe 6-0, 7-0 as a fighter, and he fought in a four-round prelim that lasted about 37 seconds. And as I followed Tyson, it became clear that he was going to be quite possibly the man who was going to shake up the heavyweight division, which at that point had heavyweight champions one after the other, and they all seemed to be afflicted with some kind of inertia, a sluggishness, or they simply seemed to have no interest in fighting anymore. Part and parcel of that could have been Don King, who was the promoter of most of the heavyweights in the heavyweight division at that time, and the financial dealings that many of them had with him, I think, were fairly dispiriting and ended up making them less interested in fighting than in trying to get a few bucks out of their hard labor.
If Mike Tyson came along and enlivened boxing, what was the result, do you think, of the Mike Tyson personal story? Has that been good or bad for boxing's reputation and for the interest in boxing, which is, after all, so much a part of whether the sport succeeds or fails financially?
You know, boxing is a lot like show business. It's a marquee business. When you have a low period in boxing, no major superstar, you have only hardcore fans. And as recently as about a month and a half ago, Ray Leonard's attorney said to me, a fellow named Mike Trainer said to me, you know, if you had to depend on hardcore boxing fans to enliven the business, you'd starve. So what happens when you have a Muhammad Ali or Ray Leonard is all those marginal fans turn out for boxing sort of in spite of themselves. They become interested in boxing and stay with the sport until that marquee name disappears, at which point they disappear for a while waiting for the next marquee name. And Tyson was the next marquee name. And that went beyond his performance in the ring. You know, excitement, the liveliness, the drama, the melodrama of the Givens-Roper saga, that marriage that took place in February 88 and lasted until she filed for divorce in October, really turned it into an ongoing soap opera. And I think it helped the sport. I mean, I found that women in the apartment building that I live in Manhattan would come up to me, knowing that I'm the boxing writer for the New York Times, and say, oh, isn't that terrible what that Robin Givens is doing to Mike Tyson? I mean, they were interested, women who had, you know, would never come up to me and ask me who's the headliner at the Felt Forum, you know, that Thursday night. These women were suddenly interested in the Tyson story, and I believe that of course is very good for the sport. There was a storyline beyond the ring.
Doesn't it play into, though, the sensationalism of boxing and some of the worst stereotypes about boxers, that they're not very bright, that they're given to violence outside of the ring, that they have sordid backgrounds?
Yeah, it does, but that's part of what's fascinating about boxing, is that you have characters on so many different levels. I mean, you have a Mike Tyson that comes from the desperate streets of Brooklyn up through the juvenile penal system, and emerges early on in his career as a guy who's a potential hero. Then you have those other strata of society mixing their lives with his, and boom, it's fireworks.
I have to ask you what you think of the excerpt of the new book about Tyson by Jose Torres, who's the former head of the New York State Boxing Commission and a former boxer.
You know,
himself.
Jose's book,
Can I just point out here some of the things that he said so our listeners who haven't read it will know what it is we're talking about? He quotes Tyson as saying that, I like to hurt women when I make love to them. I like to hear them scream with pain and see them bleed. The best punch I've ever thrown was to Robin Givens. He brags about one night when he had 24 girls and 24 orgasms. Tell me what you think of it.
I think that what you have in Jose's book is a lot of macho posturing by Tyson that was really unchallenged by a so-called writer. In Jose's instance, the book is all sizzle and no steak. You know, it's got these flashy quotes which his publisher was clever enough to put out there as if, this was the gospel about Tyson. It got picked up and steamrolled into, a feeling that that Jose has some kind of truth on Tyson. In fact, it's sort of the equivalent of National Enquirer depth. And what I find is that people who read the books, both books, come up to me and say, "Hey, there's nothing there." It's like after you get through those flashy quotes, the guy's not a writer; he doesn't have anything to say.
I think Tyson said to you when you were talking to him that I always try to catch my opponents on the tip of the nose because I try to push the bone into the brain. What was your reaction to that?
One, at that time, we said to ourselves, this is a guy that, doesn't follow the party line, so he may be more interesting than others to cover. He doesn't monitor himself. He's got that childlike gift for saying what's on his mind. The point with Tyson and that type of violence is that he really has a romantic feeling toward violence, and it's clear in how he thinks and how he acts. When he got into that fight in August of '88 with Mitch Green, he told a friend of his, who happens to be a friend of mine, I should have avoided it. I could have avoided it. But he really has a relish for violence. And the single most interesting detail I found in Mitch Green's account of the event was how moments before Tyson popped him, he moved the rings on his fingers so that they were lined up and became part of the punch. And to me, that was perfect Tyson. I mean, he knows his violence. He knows how to be violent, and he's very good at being violent.
Do you like that in a boxer?
You have to. I mean, that's what the sport is about. It's two parts. One just forcefulness, i.e. violence, and two, art. And Tyson, they both exist, but the sheer violence and recklessness of him is are what make him so interesting.
A lot of us first learned about boxing from now classic boxing movies. And just about all of those movies, the boxers are managed by gangsters. And they're always being asked to throw fights. It's the most corrupt sport. Have things changed much?
Yeah. I mean, there's so much money now in boxing that it really doesn't pay on the highest levels for a fighter to take a dive. When the 1930s and 1940s films were made, a big payday was, $40,000. Well, $40,000 now, is a fraction of what a sponsor will pay to have his logo put on the mat and ring posts. You're talking in the case of the Tyson-Spinks fight of a heavyweight champion, Mike Tyson, pulling down 19-point-something million dollars as his end of it. I'm not saying that it's not possible on the lower levels of boxing for there to be a fix, but the other side of that is that who cares about those lower levels of boxing? Who'd be betting so that it'd be of any consequence? Your fight's of consequence. The money is too outrageous for fighters to want to take a dive.
What's the greatest frustration of a boxing writer?
I don't really. I don't have a greatest frustration. Boxing is a great beat to cover because it's every time you go out on the road, it's for a big event. You know, we tend to be like a caravan moving from one carnival to the next, and the rhythms are kind of nice. You're on the road a week or so, you're back home for a couple of weeks, then there's another big fight, and bang, back on the road you go, and the caravan rolls into a city like Las Vegas or Atlantic City, and all the important boxing people are there. It's a big event, a big fight, and it crescendos, and you go back, and you're off and running again. It beats that kind of daily grinding that, for instance, 156 baseball games and, the long, seemingly interminable seasons with conference playoffs and other playoffs that basketball and football have. To me, it's a marvelous sport with marvelous characters, and I've thoroughly enjoyed it.
Phil Berger, thank you very much for talking with us.
You're welcome.